My guest, Seamus Heaney, won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1995. Now 200 of his poems, written between 1966 and 96, are collected in his new anthology, Open Ground. Heaney was born in 1939 and grew up in County Derry, about 30 miles from Belfast in Northern Ireland. He's lived in Dublin since 1976. He spends part of each year teaching at Harvard. Let's start with a reading from the first poem in his new collection, this poem published in 1966. The poem, Digging, is a reflection on writing and farming.
Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests, snug as a gun. My grandfather cut more turf in a day than any other man on Toner's Bog. Once I carried him milk in a bottle, corked sloppily with paper. He straightened up to drink it, then fell to right away, nicking and slicing neatly, heaving sods over his shoulder, going down and down for the good turf, digging. The cold smell of potato mould, the squelch and slap of soggy peat, the curt cuts of an edge through living roots awaken in my head. But I've no spade to follow men like them. Between my finger and my thumb, the squat pen rests. I'll dig with it.
That poem was from your first book of poems. I'm wondering if that poem was almost a manifesto for you, a declaration of principles, no farming poetry.
It was not a manifesto, no, which a manifesto implies a kind of forward program and a slight rallying of others.
Right.
this was a discovery rather than a manifesto, and I think a little surprise to oneself. Manifestos are usually put together very deliberately ahead of time with intent. The poem was born out of, I suppose, inchoate need, as most poems are. And what you want the poem to do is to come out ahead of you with what you needed, with a little surprise. And this is what it did. It, in retrospect, I did go back into that first ground, as it were, which was opened with digging in my first book, and ever since. The place where I grew up, where I left when I was about the age of 12 to go to boarding school, that remains a kind of energy source and image bank of sorts ever since.
Would you describe where you grew up?
I grew up in the countryside in Northern Ireland in a place called Mossbawn, which was a small farm. It was halfway between the city of Belfast and the city of Derry. It was in the 1940s, very circumscribed place. I grew up within the Catholic local culture, that is to say, the rhythms of life in the place I grew up were related to the church. When you went to church on Sunday, that was the outing. It was a way of life that was ready to disappear in the 1950s, more or less, because I was still at the tail end of pre-electrification, pre-mains water. I mean, we had a pump at the back of the house. We had we lit lamps and we lit fires, so you it's some vestigial sense of the Neolithic.
There's a poem I'd like to ask you to read called Midterm Break that's about the death of a young brother.
That's right, yeah. Well, this is when I was at the boarding school, and he was killed in a road accident. It's called Midterm Break. I sat all morning in the college sick bay, counting bells nailing classes to a close. At 2 o'clock, our neighbors drove me home. In the porch, I met my father crying. He had always taken funerals in his stride. And Big Jim Evans saying it was a hard blow. The baby cooed and laughed and rocked the pram when I came in. And I was embarrassed by old men standing up to shake my hand and tell me they were sorry for my trouble. Whispers informed strangers I was the eldest, away at school, as my mother held my hand in hers and coughed out angry, tearless sighs. At 10 o'clock, the ambulance arrived with the corpse, stanched and bandaged by the nurses. Next morning, I went up into the room. Snowdrops and candles soothed the bedside. I saw him for the first time in 6 weeks. Paler now, wearing a poppy bruise on his left temple, he lay in the 4-foot box as in his cot. No gaudy scars. The bumper knocked him clear. A 4-foot box, a foot for every year.
How long after the fact did you write that poem?
I was 24 when I wrote it, so it must have been about 10 or 11 years, about 10 years after it. I wrote it actually because it was coming up to my brother's anniversary in the month of February 1964. So I think it was 1954 when he was killed. And I suppose when I look at it, I very rarely read it unless when I'm asked to, because it's not that I don't estimate it and value it. I do. But it's a kind of poem that that gives you an unfair advantage on your audience because it's about a personal sorrow. This poem, in a sense, doesn't have to do that much work except to tell the story.
It sounds like you think of this as a cheap poem because of that.
No. I think, absolutely not. I don't think of it as a cheap poem. But I think that cheap tricks can be played on audiences by poets by reading poems like this.
Just mean playing on people's sympathies, you mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You spend part of your time teaching at Harvard, and you're now a poet in residence there. I'm wondering if you think that poetry has a different place in the public or private lives of Americans than it does in Ireland.
It's a delicate question. It's a bit of a mystery what place poetry has in people's lives. I mean, there's no doubt that in Ireland, poets are known better by the general public. They figure, if you like, in the newspapers, for better or worse. The citizen is enumerating, consciously or unconsciously, who are the people in the country, maybe a poet or two would be included. Now, I don't think that is generally true in the United States. On the other hand, it's an enormously large country, this. Ireland has, 4.5 million. The acoustic is much more sensitive. It can pick up individual sounds and meanings. I do think that in order to be heard in the United States, poets probably need to be clamorous. If you think of Ginsberg, who was probably one of the most audible poets in the history of this century, he didn't do it by writing the sonnets that he began with. He did it by howling, as they say. But that howl and what followed from it it was influential. But I think Ginsberg is undoubtedly a special case. If you take another poet with absolute meaning, like Emily Dickinson, the poet whose covenant is with silence almost, where the war is within rather than without, and where it is the kind of galactic explosions within the language, and which match, as Wordsworth says, explosions or workings within the spirit. And Emily Dickinson may not be as clamorous and known as Ginsberg, but her poetry within this culture does have fundamental and verifying status. So, as I say, it is difficult to know. Poetry fundamentally has meaning and has value for those to whom it means and is valued. I mean, it's poetry can't be applied like a vaccination to a population. The individual must come to it.
Well, Seamus Heaney, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Seamus Heaney's new anthology is called Open Ground, Selected Poems, 1966 to 1996. This is Fresh Air.